is really something that we need to focus on. We need to understand what God wants to do with our lives, that we're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose. But before I get into the Word, I just want to tell you something that's funny. I read something funny this week, and it just made me laugh. And so, Janae and I, how many of you are over 40 in the room right now? You're over 40. You know, I keep saying over 40 like a bunch of. I keep saying over 40 like I'm just over 40. I'm closer to 50 than I am. I'm about to turn 48. 2 years from 50, y'all better pray for me. Pray for a brother. What I've noticed about us is that we're getting kind of forgetful about certain things. Any of you experienced any of this where you got a lot of things on your mind and you start forgetting things? You know, like, you know, you see something on the ground, you reach down to pick it up and you just look around, see if there's anything else down there before you get up. I mean, that's kind of how I am. And like, I'm just like getting old. I don't want to take too many trips down. So let's check it out. But I read this thing. Me and Janae last week, we had something that was funny. Somebody said something funny, and we couldn't remember. We were talking to each other about, who was that? I mean, we just sat in the car, and we were like, this is ridiculous. We can't think of this person's name. We could not think of who it was. And so I read this week, and it reminded me of it, so you'll appreciate this, I think. There was this couple. They were in their 90s, and they went to the doctor, and they were getting their checkup. And so the doctor was just talking to him, and then he noticed that they were saying, "Hey, we're getting to where we're not remembering things, and we're not able to remember it." And so the doctor said, "Well, you know what? Just let go of your pride and write things down. If you can't remember something, just write it down, and that'll remind you." And so they said, "Okay, we're going to try that." So they go home. They're sitting at home watching TV, just hanging out together. And the woman asked the man, "Honey, would you go get me a bowl of cereal? I mean, not a bowl of cereal, a bowl of ice cream. Yes, go get me a bowl of ice cream." He said, "Sure, honey, I'll go get you a bowl of ice cream." So he gets up and he's headed into the kitchen. She said, "You sure you don't need to write that down? You might forget while you're in there." He said, I can remember ice cream. What are you talking?" She said, okay. So he continues to walk towards the kitchen and she said, oh, and by the way, put strawberries on it. I really love strawberries. I want you to put strawberries. He said, okay, ice cream with strawberries. And she said, "You better write that down. You're going to get in there and forget." And he said, "Honey, I can remember vanilla ice cream and strawberries. That's not hard to remember. I'm almost to the kitchen. Let me go. I can do it." And she said, "Okay, go ahead." And then as he got almost to the kitchen, she said, oh, and I want some whipped cream on the top too. Make sure you put whipped cream on the top." And he said, "Okay, whipped cream on the top. You want vanilla ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream on the top? Yes, that's what I want. You better write it down. You're going to forget. I'm almost there. Just let me go. I can remember." So he goes in, and he's in the kitchen for like 20 minutes. And then he comes back out, walks over to her with a plate, and hands it to her. Eggs and bacon. And she looks at the plate, looks back at him, and says, "Where's my toast?" Some of y'all will get that later. Yeah, see? That's how I feel sometimes, just forget. When we live our life without purpose, that's kind of how it feels. It feels like there's not meaning, there's not reason, not important, things aren't important. We're just going through the motions. It's really not a good way to live. And in conclusion of this series, we want to learn how to defeat the giants of aimlessness and negativity. The reason I want to do these together is because, honestly, aimlessness and negativity go hand in hand. And we can easily defeat these giants of insecurity with our last two values, intentionality and positivity. Here at Summit Church, we believe in being intentional and we believe in being positive. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm mentally tired. You may ask, "Why are you mentally tired, Pastor David?" And I would say to you, because the 24-hour news cycle is wearing me down. I have prayed, literally prayed, "God, somehow, some way, when this election is over, destroy the 24-hour news cycle and make it go away forever in Jesus' name." I mean, I'm serious about it. I don't know if you're old enough. Well, most of you who raised your hands a while ago are old enough to remember. I remember what it was like without the 24-hour news cycle. I really do. I remember that it wasn't just constant bombardment of news and updates and news and updates and news and news and news. And it's as if we have gotten so busy trying to find things to fill all that 24 hours with that it's just negative on top of negative on top of negative. I can tell you as a result of that, our culture from when I was young until now to today, I can just tell you we're more cynical, we're more doubtful, we're more hopeless, we're more negative than we've ever been. If you're a positive person in today's culture, I'm telling you right now, you're doing something. You're fighting a battle. You are challenging. You're facing an uphill fight because there is so much negative going on. And why do we feel the need to be so negative? And I think partly is because our culture is just constantly bombarding us with negativity. There's nothing ever positive. Like you would think if you watch TV and got on social media, and let me just give you a recommendation. I give you a simple recommendation that after the election, just do this with me if you will. Don't get on your social media for like 3 to 5 days because there's nothing going to be on there that it's going to be worth seeing or talking about or hearing because people are going to be blasting each other. I've got friends that literally are fighting each other. They've been friends for a long time. They're fighting each other over this constant battle and polarization in our nation right now. And I really believe that as dark as it is, we are about to come into the brightest time for the church. I really believe that. I really believe that 2017 is going to be a great year. I know everybody's looking at it with trepidation and everybody's looking at it, you know, our choices aren't that great and everybody's looking at it and saying, you know, what are we going to do? Our whole nation's going to crumble. Listen, there's only one way this nation's going to crumble, and that's if God lets it crumble. And we need to get over this. Come on, somebody. We need to turn our attention not to people, but to Jesus. Jesus is a person, but you understand what I mean. Not to politicians, not to government officials, not to anybody. Listen, people are imperfect. People aren't but let me just say something. God is perfect, and he knows what he's doing. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm putting my full and complete trust in him, and I'm listening to his Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do in this election. I believe that everybody should to do what their right is to do, and that is vote. But I'm telling you, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing whatever he tells me to do. And I'm not getting involved. You know, today's culture, man, everybody's got an opinion. Turn to your neighbor right now. Look them right in the face and say, your opinion is good. Now look right back in their face and say, if it's asked for. Come on, somebody. Because in today's culture, everybody thinks they have an opinion and they think everybody else should know what their opinion is. And you know what? That is not okay. You know, Will Rogers said, he said, never miss a good opportunity to shut up. And I really believe that. I think sometimes there are good opportunities for us to keep our mouth shut, but instead we engage in the negativity. Isn't it amazing how negative people can find each other? They're like magnets. Come on, somebody. Y'all just being quiet today. Negative people are just, they'll find each other. You know why? It's that old saying, misery loves company. You don't want to be miserable by yourself, so let's drag some other people into your misery. It's true. We don't need to be negative. What do we have to be negative about? Our hope is still in Jesus Christ. Our hope is still in his love. Our hope is still in his grace. We don't need to be negative or thinking that life is going to beat us down or we don't have any hope. Listen, we have the only hope that there is, and his name is Jesus. And I'm not a bit discouraged. I'm not a bit depressed. I'm not a bit scared of what's going to happen in the future. Because here's what I know. No matter how dark it gets, it just makes the church shine brighter. Listen, when negativity is all around you, the more positive you are, the more brighter your light will shine. When aimlessness and purposelessness is all around us, when we live a life intentionally, for purpose, by purpose, for God's purpose, listen, when we do that, it makes us shine brighter than ever. Some of you are like, man, I wish I could get a promotion. Just be positive and intentional. You'll get a promotion. Because 9 times out of 10, 99.9% of the people around you aren't doing that. That's pretty practical for you, isn't it? But it's true. I wish my life would change. I wish I had better opportunity. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. You can, but you got to be positive and you have to be intentional. The values that we have here at Summit Church, we've discussed and talked. The first one was generosity, and generosity defeats the giant of greed. We live in a culture and a time where, man, greed is prevalent. It is going on. And what greed is, I'm not just talking about the love of money or wanting money, because there's nothing wrong with wanting money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with any of that. What is wrong, though, is if that's what you love above everything else. The Bible didn't say money is the root of all evil. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. When we get to that place where our desires are insatiable and we can never have enough. I've got to have more. I've got to have more material goods. I've got to have more money. I've got to have more friends. I've got to have more time. I've got to have more this. I've got to have more that. When we have that insatiable, never quenched thirst, that discontent in our life that we're never happy with what we have. There's nothing wrong with wanting success or wanting to move forward or wanting your life to be better, but there is something wrong if it's just about having more. Because the problem is with it, you'll get to more and it still won't be enough. And then you'll have to have more after you already have more. And you know why that's a problem? Because when we say we need more and more and more and more and more, what we're basically saying is God is not enough. I love that song that sings, Jesus is enough for me. I love that. I love that. He's enough for me. He satisfies my soul. He makes me contented. I'm at peace. I mean, so little peace in our culture today because of this lack of purpose and aimlessness, so much greed and so much avarice going on and so much the love of money and material that we don't have peace, and we search for peace and we search for significance and we search for change and we search for love but seemingly can't find it because we're looking for it in all the wrong places. Some of y'all over 40 looking for love in all the wrong places. I know some country music. That's real country. Number two, team. Team defeats the giant of relational disconnect. We live in a society and a culture that seems more and more increasingly connected, but really is less and less really connected. We're more virtually connected, but we're less really connected. And so what we need is this attitude and mentality of team. We're in this together, that together we are better, that we need each other, and we need love, and we need compassion, and we need grace, and we need to go shoulder to shoulder and arm to arm and hand to hand into our purpose and into our destiny and not think I can do this all by myself and I don't need anybody, because I'm going to tell you that's a lonely existence. You won't just be alone, but you'll be lonely, and you don't want that in your life. The Bible said God takes the lonely and places them in family, and who is that family? This is that family. Number three, reaching for responsibility defeats the giant of indifference. We talked about this last week and how there's so much indifference in our world that people are just watching catastrophic things happen and just don't care. We've become desensitized by everything we see. I mean, you see things on a regular basis on TV that would, if you had played that for me when I was 10 years old, it would have shot. I would have been, oh my goodness. I mean, I'm flipping through Facebook and seeing things that are violent and thinking to myself, man, that they wouldn't have played that in movies when I was a kid. And because it's real life and it happens so fast, like before it even hits the news so you can really understand, it's already on YouTube, it's already on Facebook, it's already on all the social networks. And some people say that's good, and I think in some ways it is good, but man, it's also bad because we're getting desensitized to the reality. We're cold. But when we reach for responsibility and say, God, I want more of you, and I want more of your purpose, and I want to do something about the wrongs in the world, then it changes that spirit of an attitude of indifference on the inside of us and causes us to realize God wants to use us for something. These are big giants in our life. Today we're going to talk about the last two, intentionality and positivity. And what intentionality defeats is this giant of aimlessness. Man, we live in a culture that is absolutely just aimless. We're all wandering around trying to figure life out and just hope it works out. But no purpose, no destiny. I'm just living my life. I'm just trying to get that paycheck, Pastor David. I'm just trying to provide for my family. I'm just trying to get through. If I can just get through and everybody's healthy, we're okay. God wants so much more than that for you. He wants to use your life to be more than just that provision for your family. He wants to use your life to make a difference with everybody that's around you. And then positivity defeats the giant of negativity. Oh, we just talked about how negative society is. Just so stinking negative. Just bad news everywhere. I just get depressed thinking about it. How many of you ever, just let me ask you this question. You don't have to raise your hand, but do you ever just feel overwhelmed? Just going through your week, it's a normal week. There's nothing really bad happening in your own personal life, but you start feeling this sense of being overwhelmed, this sense of anxiety. It's just like something's over the top of you. You ever feel that way? I'm telling you where it's coming from is a constant push of negative thinking, and negative processes, and negative system, and negative thoughts. And people are, you know, I was saying in the earlier service, and it's true, you know, this glass is not even half empty. You know, some people are pessimists, some people are realists, some people are optimists. I couldn't remember the word. Man, at 40, it's getting me. But, you know, they might look at that glass, and I'm thinking, man, I'm so thankful for our team that makes sure I have water up here and that I don't get thirsty. And, you know, people actually do this stuff. I'm so thankful for our serve team that takes care of the running and the operations of the church because they do so much. Man, let's just give everybody who serves at Summit Church a hand. But I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, I'm thirsty. I'm just thankful somebody provides water for me when I'm speaking. Isn't that awesome? But, you know, some people might say that, and why didn't they fill that all the way up? Don't they know I've got a whole message here. I'm going to be preaching for an hour and a half. That was a joke. And why wouldn't they fill that all the way up? I mean, I'm telling you, there are some people that they're going to find negativity with whatever. I mean, it could be like you won $1 million. You're not going to believe how much taxes they're going to take out. You won $1 million. Yeah, but the government's going to get me. Going to get me. You know anybody like that? You been anybody like that? Why? You know why it is? It's because we find ourselves not living purpose, not living that born-again experience where the Spirit of God is leading our spirit man and we're walking into purpose and destiny, but we find ourselves more appealed to by our flesh and our feelings. And so because we're being, you know, drug around by our flesh and our feelings and our carnality, and because we're not growing, we're not in the Word like we should be, we're not seeking God's face like we should be, so we find ourselves being led by feelings and emotions and wrong thinking and wrong attitudes instead of being led by the Spirit of God and that life-giving hope that comes through the Word of God. So the value today is intentionality. The value statement that we have here at Summit Church is we live on purpose for God's purpose, helping people find their God-given purpose. That's why I say everybody should go through Summit Next. Even if you've been here for a long time and you went through something we did before, it's not Summit Next. You need to go through Summit Next. And everybody who's new to the church, you need to do this because we believe that our calling as a church is to produce the potential in people. And here's what I know. I want everybody to be saved. I want them to come to a knowledge of Jesus. I want them to have a relationship with Him and their life be changed. I want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want their lives to be sanctified and living according to the calling of God on their life. Or the Word of God on their life, but I want all that to happen so that they can find that place, that purpose, that reason that God created them. So if you come to Summit Next, we help you find those details, those personality and the giftings and the skill set that you have to be able to achieve that. We live on purpose for God's purpose, helping people find their God-given purpose, and then we believe in being positive. Our value statement for positivity is we have a positive attitude that allows us to see, believe in, and produce the potential in people. I believe that you can't see the potential that's in someone if you're constantly negative. I believe you can't see the value in a person if you're constantly negative. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, if you look for something good in a person, you'll find it. Because we look for what we want to find, we find what we're looking for. And what are we looking for? If we're looking with a negative perspective and a negative attitude, what are we going to find? We're going to find the negative. Because do you notice how negativity is always about the individual that's negative? Negative people are always centering the world around themselves because every word they say has to do with how they feel about it. You ever struggled with negativity in your own life? You notice I noticed too, negative people gossip a lot. Because negative people constantly find the need to talk about what they don't like. And so then it becomes their job to see everything they don't like in other people and tell other people about what they don't like in other people. And then when they meet these people over here, they talk about all the things they don't like in those people. Know this. If anybody talks about you, somebody else with you, they're about to talk about you with somebody else. Know that. Know that as a fact. Why? Because it's this comfort that we find in negativity. It's this consolation to be negative. Like we always act like it'll make me feel better if I speak my mind. How many of you feel better after you talk negative constantly? How many of you feel better? No, you don't feel better. You feel worse. Why? Because you're filling your spirit and your heart and your mind with a bunch of negative garbage. We want to be able to see the potential that's in people. We want to be able to see and believe in them. And in order to do that, we have to think positive and we have to think intentional. Have you ever had a giant in your life you were trying to overcome? And when you got close enough to fight him, you got a good look and realized he was you. A lot of the giants that we face in life are not somebody else, they're us. And especially in these two areas, negativity and aimlessness. So I'm going to give you some examples of what aimlessness looks like, because you might be thinking, what does aimlessness look like? Well, it means that you're reactive instead of proactive. It means you're just responding to life. You're just reacting to life. You're not deciding, I'm going to act on life. You're letting life act on you. You say, well, you can't do anything about that, Pastor David, because life just does things. But you know what I've noticed? Life does do some things to us that we're not expecting. We didn't know were going to happen. But I've noticed that if we'll take control of what we can do in life and what our purpose is in life, we find less and less of that accidental, reactionary stuff happening in our life. Why? Because a lot of the things that we're doing in life is reactive, and we're producing because of bad choices and bad decisions, life we don't want to have. It's just the truth. So I'm going to give you some examples of how aimless looks in our culture. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, fall in love? Raise your hand if you've heard that phrase, fall in love. Why do we believe that that's a thing? Why do we teach our kids that someday you're going to fall in love? As if love is a pit and they're going to trip and fall into it. Fall in love. Oh! I'm in love. I don't have her knows it. Elf. It's almost time to watch Elf, Janae. Love Elf. I always forget that stool's there. We're not falling in love. Nobody falls in love. Oh, yes, they do. You don't know my experience. I saw him for the first time. And love at first sight. We don't fall in love. Because you know why we don't fall in love? Because if love is something that happens to you and not something that you do, then you can as easily fall out of it as you fell into it. Yeah. And you don't have to take responsibility because it's not something you do, it's something that was done to you. That's an aimless way to view love. It's infatuation. It's not love. It's attraction. It's not love. Now, those may be things that lead you to love, but it's not love. And when we call them and define them as love, we're giving people the misconception that love just happens to you. And you wouldn't believe the adults that I have counseled with over the years that are in their 30s and 40s and just say, we fell out of love. No, you didn't. You just stopped loving. Because feelings always follow actions, not the other way around. And sometimes you don't feel like you love somebody, but if you will do the actions of love, your feelings will follow. That's an aimless way to live. I fell in love because I don't have to be responsible for the results of it. And I don't have to be responsible when I feel like it's changed. And I don't have to be responsible because I didn't do it to myself. It just happened to me. It's aimless. It's not intentional. Well, how do you find love? You find love by meeting someone. I can't go into all that. because I want to, but I can't because it would take too long. But you find someone by getting around people, and you get around somebody relationally who is the type of person that you would fit with, and you pray and you say, God, is this the person for? Bring the right person into my circle. Bring the right person into my life, and then you allow love to develop by acting on what you think is true. Our kids don't even know how to have that courting process anymore. They don't even know how to do that kind of stuff. Why? Because they're just waiting on love to happen. They really believe. They really truly believe. They're just going to walk down the street one day and bam, oh, well, I'm in love. It ain't going to happen. The only option left for that, listen to me very closely, is, ooh, bam, I'm in lust. Because lust is a feeling. Love is not. Man, it's getting good up in here, Pastor David. That's an aimless way to live. I love this one. How many of you have ever heard this phrase? Everything happens for a reason. That's not true. Now, I realize that where Christians use that term, what they're really saying is, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That's what we're trying to say. What we're trying to say is, no matter what happens in our life, God can use all of it to bring about a good benefit for us if we love him and if we follow him. That's what they're trying to say. But there's a big difference between saying all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose and saying everything happens for a reason. Because it's just not true. Everything doesn't happen for a reason. What it does then, if we think that way, it's aimless and it's purposeless and we have no responsibility for it. In other words, whatever happens in life, happens in life. And it must have been God. God did this to me and he'll tell me in heaven why he did that. No, it was that decision you made. I don't know why my marriage is like this, because you married him. I don't know why I don't have any money in the bank. Because you're in debt up to your eyeballs and you're not making as much money as you. I mean, you're spending more money than you bring in. That's why. Everything doesn't happen for a reason. In a divine sense. But God can use everything that does happen for your benefit. There is another way, this is another way of saying my decisions and choices don't matter. Again, things just happen to us, not as a result of anything we do. I'm so glad the next one I'm going to talk to you about. Now, let me just clarify. I'm not saying that you don't need God to help you or give you revelation or work in your life and that God does do things in your life for a reason. Yes, he does. But he does those things as we align our will with his will and we submit to him and he leads us through that. But a lot of the stuff we have blowing back at us in life is not because God must be trying to teach you or train you something. It's because you made poor decisions or bad decisions and now you're reaping the benefits of that and you're wondering why God this is letting this happen in your life. Or you would go as far as to say, it's just, I don't know why I'm going through this, but everything happens for a reason. In other words, it's God's fault, not mine. Is everybody clear on that now? I don't want to get your theology messed up. This one, I'm so glad we've grown out of this saying. I am so glad that it was only a short trend, but you've heard it. YOLO. It stands for you only live once. Everybody say that. You only live once. There's a bit of a problem with this aimless view of life. And you know what it is? We're Christians. We don't only live once. Let that set in on you for a second. And you better, follow the word of God and know Jesus and have a relationship with him. Because if you're living your life just with, oh, whatever, I'm abandonment because I only get to do this one time. You better be careful with your YOLO. Because there is an eternity after this YOLO. And when you go into eternity after YOLO, you might be hearing, how low can you go? You know what I'm saying? Whew. YOLO You only live once. There's nothing wrong with wanting adventure in life, but there's no greater adventure than following Jesus in this faith adventure and letting him take your life, the purpose of your life, wherever he wants it to go. There's nothing more exciting than that. I dare you. You can't find anything more exciting than my life. I promise you. I ain't going out, you know, living for Friday. I'm living for Friday. Well, I'm living for Friday if I can just get to Friday. Because YOLO. Really? Because that's it? That's it? You're going to throw down. You're going to get drunk. You're going to lose it all. I got to get through my week so I can get to Friday or party. YOLO. Is that it, really? Is that the adventure of your life? Hang out with your buds? Have your fun? Is that it? Is that it? Because I've tried that. And you know what? It just didn't work for me. It did not satisfy. It did not make me contented. I didn't love it. After a while, I got to hate it. Come on, somebody. And it hated me back. I'm just preaching the truth, y'all. YOLO. It's an excuse to excuse yourself from careless behavior. Because there's nothing after this. You know what it is? It's a cheap way to say carpe diem. Seize the day. But it comes from a very different mindset. Seize the day is about purpose. It's about intention. It's about making the most of opportunities and obstacles. It's about even creating your own opportunities. It's about the legacy you leave behind. That's what carpe diem is about, seizing the moments. Even the Apostle Paul talked about seize the day. But YOLO is all about what can I get as fast as I can get, as much as I can get before I die? Because life is all about me, by the way, and there's nothing after this. Such an aimless way to live. Why do people in our culture are so aimless? Why do they feel so dissatisfied? Why are they so discontent? Because they're just reacting to whatever comes in life and they're not living their life with any kind of purpose. And it's because there was created in them. The Bible says every one of us, there was placed eternity. Eternity's been placed in our heart. So when you are living your life only for today, that's why there's that internal conflict and a dissatisfaction and a discontentment. Why do I feel like I don't fit? It's because you don't really fit here. This is not our home. Our home is somewhere else. Our home is in heaven if we follow Jesus Christ. And whenever we're fighting against that, that's why we're never contented. That's why we're never happy. Because we're trying to have things make us happy when only God can give us joy. Are you with me? Are you with me? I love this one. It's a religious one. Love it. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. 99.9% of the people in this room right now think that's in the Bible. That is not in the Bible anywhere. That is a hymn that was written back in the 1800s that is not in the Bible. And it's not true. Oh yeah, God is mysterious. But the way we say it and how we apply it means, again, I don't have to be responsible because I don't know, God's just up to something mysterious. He's just up to something. I don't know. God's always up to something. Come on. I don't have to live on purpose. I don't have to live. And I'm not trying to say this to get us to go, oh, we're so horrible. No, I want to get us to say, you know what? We're listening to all this nonsense, all this philosophy. We're letting our kids be raised with this inundation of this philosophy on our earth with no purpose and no destiny. And we think the height of purpose and destiny for them is to get a career instead of finding their real purpose that their career can be a platform for. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Every time we don't understand something in life, we want to blame it on God. There's a scripture in Proverbs, and I can't quote it exactly, but it says something like, why, when you've made all these decisions about your life and something goes wrong, do you have to blame God? God had nothing to do with it. Well, doesn't God orchestrate everything, and aren't we just puppets on strings? No. That's why we have this thing called free will. God gave it to you so you can choose, right? God can be mysterious, but even in the mysteries of God, he reveals himself to those who believe in him. So here again, this is just a way to say responsibility is someone else's. There's no purpose in it. There's only reaction to it. So we can't be held accountable for it because we have no control over it. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. Whatever happens, happens. Oh, that sounds good. But this is just a way of saying, why try? Life's going to happen anyway. These are things in life we can't control. And there are times that it catches us off guard, but the whole of our lives should not be lived that way. Most people are living life just letting life act on them. They're not acting on life. Your life's never going to be fulfilled, never going to be happy, never have joy until you find a sense of positive purpose. You can do all the methods you want. You can talk to as many people as you want. You can add more to your life. You can make more money. You can get around more people. You can be more leisurely. You can live more cavalierly. You can be in and out spiritually. You can be really religious in your talk and then, you know, not so religious in your talk. You can do all these things, but until you find a place of positive purpose, until you find that place of positive purpose, you will not be satisfied, and you'll not be fulfilled, and you'll not be contented in life. And here's the sad part. You don't have to live that way. It's our choice. I mean, it really, truly is our choice. I'm not trying to tell you that you need to get more control of your life because you can't control life. I'm trying to tell you, let God control your life. Even when we try to control life, we're just being... Come on, we're just being more of a reactive person. I'm insecure. I think things are going to get out of my control, so I'm just reacting to life. I'm going to pin my kids down. I'm going to pin my spouse down. I'm going to pin everything. I'm going to make sure everything's right on my career, and I'm going to do just exactly what needs to be done. I'm not doing more. I'm not doing less. I'm going to do exactly what I need because it'll be safe and secure, and I don't lose anything over this, and I don't have to worry about my comfort, and I don't have to worry about my convenience. I'm just going to stay in this box because, man, if I just stay in this box, everything will be all right. I'm in control. The problem is, every time you try to control all of life, you're not creating a box of comfort. You're creating a prison. You're creating a casket. You're no longer living. You need to have purpose. You need to have destiny. You need to be positive and hopeful about your future. You need to know that there's something in you that God wants to mine out of you. You need to know that there's some potential down inside of you that's deep that God wants to bring out and manifest in your life and the lives of those around you because there's something valuable in you. He created you, and He knows why. What's the difference? You know, Saul and David, David was this epitome of hope and positivity. Everybody else saw the giant and said, he's too big. David said, no way. Take me to him. It's just like Joshua. He's 85 years old. He had to hang out with all the Israelites who doubted and were cynical for 40 years. At 40, he said, give me my mountain. And now he had to wait 40 more years. And he said, hey, give me my mountain. I'm still able to do it. I'm ready to take it. And he went and he won victory over his mountain. Listen, that's what we need. We need some hopeful people, people filled with strength, people filled with courage, people filled with dreams that God has given you, people filled with purpose that wake up every morning and Monday isn't a bad day to them. We have consigned with our wrong negative attitude, we've consigned Monday to just be the negative attitude day. What's different between Monday and Friday? What's different? I just got to get off work. You hate your job that much? Some of y'all are like, mm-hmm, yep. Well, then do something else. Does that ever cross your mind? You're not doing what you're strong in. You're not doing what God gifted you to do, but you wouldn't cross your mind to say, maybe I should try something else. If you hate it so bad, stop it. Now, don't be stupid and stop it immediately. I know I've had guys in my life hear me say something inspirational and go, man, I quit my job. Man, what? You did what? His wife is like, Pastor Dave, why'd you say that? I didn't tell him to quit his job. You understand what I'm saying? Be smart, be wise, but why would you go down a path that you hate if the purpose of that path is not in you? It's about perspective. How do you see life? How do you approach life? What are the results of the way you see and approach life? Look at the way Saul approached life. King Saul, he was afraid, he was insecure, he was arrogant, he was threatened, hopeless, he was aimless, and he was negative. All of those things the king saw, and he had a horrible reign. David comes up on the scene. He's hopeful. He's positive. He's dreamer. He's purposeful. I mean, he, at this point in his life, when he faces Goliath, is literally a shepherd for his dad. He's just working for his dad. But every day had purpose to him. Every day he's writing songs of worship to God. Every day he's protecting sheep. Every day he's fulfilling vision. Every day he's thinking about his future. Where's this going? Where am I going? How are you going to use me, God? What are you going to do, God? You're so worthy, God. This is David's life. Hope-filled, positive, dreaming, purposeful. And then you have Saul, on the other hand, is just the opposite. And the results of his life are the manifestation of his attitude. Come on, somebody. It's how you see life. How do you see it? How are you approaching your job? How are you approaching? Sometimes your job isn't bad. It's you. Come on, sometimes if you just change your attitude towards your job, change your perspective about what it is you do, then you wouldn't hate it anymore. You'd love it. You mean I could be wrong? Oh, it's a possibility. Come on. It's about attitude and action. Being positive or negative, it's about your attitude. Whether you are a positive, hope-filled person or you're a negative, hopeless person, it's your attitude. And let me just tell you, attitude determines your altitude. However you want to go in life, attitude has everything to do with it. And let me just tell you something about attitude. I'm just going to tell you real clearly. I want you to write this down if you're writing things down. Attitude is 100%. No matter your circumstances, no matter what you're going through, no matter what problems you face, no matter anything like that, attitude is 100% your decision. Doctors will tell you that people who face deadly diseases fare much better if they have a positive attitude, if they had a hopeful attitude, if they have a hopeless attitude. 9 times out of 10, it will be a quick descent into death or misery. This is why your mental state is so important. Being positive or negative is our attitude, and it's absolutely our choice. Being intentional is about action, purpose. What am I doing with myself? Living life on purpose or living life by accident is 100% your choice and my choice. I'm not going to go through life and let life tell me what I'm going to do with my life just because I'm reacting to whatever happens. I'm going to step back and I'm going to say, God, show me your purpose for me. Show your destiny for me and let me live it out every day, day after day after day. And the consistency of that will bring you awesome results. That's why David had awesome results and Saul had horrible results. It's about confidence and character. How you live your life matters. It matters to your life, and it matters to those you lead in life. Integrity still counts, y'all. I know we live in a culture that thinks it's just fine to lie. It's just fine to cut corners. It's just fine to not have ethics. It's just fine to just do what you do so you can succeed. It's all good. But I'm telling you right now, you cannot be the confident person that God intends for you to be if you don't have some integrity in your life. Lying and cutting corners and deceiving, man, it won't work because you can't be confident. Why? Because you got all this stuff hanging over the top of you. You got to remember what lie you told and to who you told it to. Come on, somebody. How many of you have ever gotten in that circle? Don't raise your hand. Gotten in that circle of lying. I have when I was younger. I'm like, oh, man, I don't remember what I said. Same way when you gossip. You gossip about somebody, you got to remember, did I tell them about that or did they or this and that? You got to remember who you're talking to. You know what? I don't ever have to worry about any of that. Nobody's going to come up to me and ask me anything that's going to surprise me or that I'm going to have to think, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to say? What am I going to do? No, because I don't lie. I do my best to not be deceitful. And no matter what's going on in our culture today, it's not okay. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not okay mostly because of what it'll do to you. You won't have confidence because you can't have true confidence without true character. You and I, we can't control any of the outcomes. We can't. You can't control any of the outcomes. You want your life to be a certain way. You can't control that. You want this much money. You want this much family. You want this goal to be met. You want this to happen. You can't control that. because you have no control over how things turn out. But you know what we do have control over? Input. What we put in. The work, the consistency, the credibility, the influence, the positivity, the purpose. And when we do that, according to God and what He designed us for, what ends up happening is we get the outcomes, probably and usually, much better than what we would have wanted to begin with. When we find that place of positivity and intentionality in our lives, we are truly trusting God. We are truly relying on adhering to the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. Don't you want your life to have meaning? Don't you want your life to have purpose? Don't you want your life to have destiny? Or do you just want your life to happen and you exist, and when it's all over, said, and done, it meant nothing? I can tell you, I want God's way, God's will, God's purpose. And I want my life to bring the results of it. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. It was recorded at the ministry of Summit Church in Canyon, Texas. If this message helped and encouraged you, please share it with someone else. For more, please go to yoursummitchurch.com.